This is Under the Hood, the Toyota Policy Drivers podcast, where we take a look under the hood of the policies and politics that drive our nation and the auto industry. I'm your host, Donna Rudy, coming to you from Washington, D.C. On today's podcast, we are celebrating three inspiring Toyota women for their leadership in science, technology, engineering, and production. Jenny Bartley, Erne Gilling, and Haley Antoine. We're going under the hood on how they're getting that proverbial glass ceiling to fall on the auto industry to advance women in manufacturing. Haley, Erne, and Jenny, welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The STEP Women's Initiative is a national program to close the gender gap in manufacturing. And each year, the Manufacturing Institute recognizes women across the country who exemplify leadership in engineering and manufacturing. This year, the three of you are being honored with their 2022 Step Ahead Award, and you're joining 23 Toyota leaders who've previously received this great honor. Congratulations. Why don't we start by having each of you introduce yourselves, tell us what you do at Toyota, and what drew you to the industry. Jenny, let's start with you.
Thanks, Donna. Like you said, I'm Jenny Bartley. I am a group manager at the Toyota Indiana plant and currently responsible for engineering, maintenance, and the final assembly of our very stylish Toyota Highlander SUV. What drew me to the industry, a little history maybe, is when I was a young girl, I loved to help my dad on the farm. You know, I do everything from handing him tools, holding the flashlights, to actually driving the tractor and working in the fields. And since then, I've been very curious to understand why and how things work. So 24 years ago, the younger version of myself probably hadn't put those pieces together, but manufacturing is a natural fit for those traits. And, you know, when I started 19 years ago with Team MI, I just really felt at home working for Toyota and building vehicles and taking on the new challenges every day that manufacturing has to offer.
Thanks, Jenny. Erne, how about you?
I am group manager for a group called Digital Solutions within R&D. We have three focus areas. The first is responsible for technical data management and the process, and provides a framework to acquire, manage, and maintain and ensure the access to technical data. The second group is focused on what we call business solutions, and it teams up with IT to provide efficient solutions for R&D. And the third is around data analytics. But what drew me here? I love the variation in work from day to day. I tend not to like to do things that are monotonous, and I love the variety of different technical topics that you end up being able to discuss. And then from an engineering standpoint, we're oftentimes teamed up in groups of engineers with different backgrounds, so you have the opportunity to learn even more. Some other things I like about it is the international travel. Love the idea that we could, you know, have the long-term assignments within Japan, and then also able to travel to Mexico and any other places that where we have. And then third, I love developing products that people are passionate about. So I think those are the three things that really drew me in to just kind of working in this area.
Thanks, Erne. Haley, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Donna. I'm a pedestrian protection engineer within Crash Safety, which is under the Product Performance Engineering Division at R&D. And when most people think about crash safety, they typically think about protecting the people inside of the vehicle, right? However, at Toyota, we care about the safety of those outside of our vehicles as well. So in my role, our ultimate goal is to reduce the likelihood of head and leg injuries to pedestrians and bicyclists. I use computer modeling tools to predict these injuries throughout vehicle development, and we collaborate with lots of designers and other engineers to implement design changes. And then later on in development, we do physical testing, where we literally launch instrumented dummy heads and legs at our vehicles, which is really, really exciting. I came in the automotive industry, though, totally by chance. I grew up in San Diego, and I went to college in Central New York, and I really have no exposure to auto in these communities. But I attended the 2017 Society of Women Engineers National Conference, and I met an engineer from Crash Safety. And I thought the work that she did was really fascinating and rewarding. And she got me an interview for a co-op position, and the rest was history.
Thanks, Haley. Erne, you have 7 Toyota patents and wrote the specs for the meter display screens for Toyota and Lexus vehicles. In cutting-edge fields alone, only 1 in 5 are female. Underrepresentation of women's contributions to R&D means that their perspectives may be overlooked. As someone whose career has been distinguished by creativity and innovation, What does it take to succeed in a role like yours?
You know, Donna, it was important for me to first become a subject matter expert in an area because it gave me the confidence to step into any space in the organization and use my influence to kind of change the trajectory of different conversations. I think without that, you know, you just don't get that confidence to kind of step into, your the meeting and add your input. The second thing is to be comfortable being you. I've seen many women give in to behaving like the norm. And when you do that, you relinquish what I feel is your unique superpower that only you can bring. So oftentimes your messages become muddled and your impact is diminished. So my advice is to be you. And then that last thing is always considering what we could be missing, you know, especially as we're designing different products. Understand what voice is missing from this conversation and then just kind of be an advocate while I actively try to bring that voice to the table too.
Thanks, Renee. Haley, women are leading the charge in education. They're earning degrees at all levels, advancing professionally in all fields, but fewer than one third of manufacturing employees are women. What's your assessment of women's progress in engineering and manufacturing today? And what steps can companies take to recruit more women into roles like yours?
Absolutely, Donna. I think we're trending positively. However, women, like you said, they still only make up about 28% of the U.S. STEM workforce. So, of course, there's so much more that we can do. I think companies really need to focus on both the recruitment and the retention side by developing an intentionally inclusive corporate culture. And what does that mean? That could be a number of things. Taking early career development resources directly to young talent, mentoring programs, job rotation, leadership opportunities, interesting and innovative work, and also really strong promotion pipeline. On the other side of it, girls tend to lose confidence in their math abilities by the third grade. So companies can even take steps to combat this by supporting STEM education in their local K-12 communities. They can encourage young girls to participate in STEM. And this basically strengthens the pipeline of women going into the roles that Erne, Jenny, and I have. So companies can definitely get those folks right out of college, but then they can also start working with girls as young as kindergarten.
The earlier, the better. Absolutely. Jenny, you've had quite an impressive career at Toyota. You're being honored for leading a team of over 1,000 team members at our plant in Indiana. What do you think are the main challenges for women in manufacturing today? What advice can you give to overcome those challenges?
You just mentioned the statistics about females in manufacturing, and I think, you know, they speak for themselves. Only 29% of the workforce for manufacturing are female, while the, you know, rest of the U.S. workforce, the female representation is around 47%. So, you know, individuals believe that they can do things when they see someone who is like them excelling and participating in that type of work. So I think challenges are very different for every individual and also at every point in their life. Work-life balance can be the top challenge, just as it has been for years for everyone. My work-life balance looks different now than it did when I started 19 years ago. You know, my kids are all in college or out in the real world adulting as compared to whenever I started my career 19 years ago. And I had two little girls and I was a single mom and they were under the age of four. So as our career goals grow, everything is also evolving around that. So my advice would be, you know, don't give up on career goals because you face a challenge. Continue to put your head down and just drive through it. You know, the last 2 years have tested our employers and challenged them to rethink what the workplace should look like and where it should be. So I think the future is bright for a more flexible work-life balance that will benefit the females coming into the manufacturing world, as well as their employers, by keeping that ever so valuable pipeline that Haley just talked about actually in the workplace.
Great advice, Jenny. Thank you. Erne, to this day, I am grateful to have had mentors in my life and career. Who's been your role model? And can you share some of the mentorship programs and initiatives that you're personally involved in?
Oh, wow. This is really hard for me, Donna, because I stand on the shoulders of so many teachers and family and co-workers and managers. For instance, I have one teacher, Carolyn Joyner, who created a science Olympiad team with our physics class, and she made us compete with teams that were two grade levels above ours. And then we all left that experience thinking, wow, I think I can actually be an engineer. Or my dad, who made me do my math homework using multiple ways to solve problems. honestly, after a few years of doing that, I hid my math homework from them. However, along the way, it helped me to be a problem solver and just to think about different ways to do things. Or a mentor, actually, who asked me, what do you really want to do? What will make you happy? And actually, at one point in my career, I had not really thought about that, but everybody should. Currently, I mentor through work in a variety of settings, flash mentoring, our mentoring program here at R&D. I'm also the executive advisor for AAC and kind of mentoring and various strategy initiatives throughout the company. But, you know, you never know. Once you kind of put something out there, you don't really understand how many ripple effects that kind of come from that initial mentoring moment. So I like to take the time to kind of pour into people when I can.
Ernie, you're definitely paying it forward. And on that note, Haley, I know you wanted to be an engineer when you were growing up because you wanted to better people's lives. What are some of the ways you're paying it forward?
Thanks, Donna. When I was thinking about in college why I wanted to be an engineer, it was definitely, you know, I want to go to work at a company that does, you know, betters people's lives, and Toyota does just that. And I'm fortunate that Toyota also allows me to reach the next generation of leaders in STEM. I know, like Ernie mentioned, you know, I wouldn't be an engineer without the so many women who mentored and encouraged me when I was younger to pursue engineering. So my focus for the last several years has been trying to provide opportunities to learn about STEM pathways to kindergarten through 12th graders who may not otherwise get this kind of exposure. I do this through leading hands-on STEM activities, career panels, other speaking engagements, mentoring, and also training adults, just like on how to best support these students in their own communities in the same ways. I do this in different organizations like the Society of Women Engineers at the local and global level, First Robotics, Girl Scouts, Engineer Girl, and Big Brothers, Big Sisters. So, and within Toyota, I focus kind of on the next step in our engineering pipeline, which is with our college students. I'm a steering committee member of R&D's Women Influencing and Impacting Toyota Business Partnering Group, and I've presented different workshops with local Michigan colleges. And I also started up a non-technical mentoring program for our co-op called the Senpai Program with a former manager of mine. And we've engaged over 150 students since the program started in 2020. And it's super refreshing to meet these really eager students and hear how excited they are to become engineers professionally. So it's not only rewarding to see them, you know, go through their internship term and do all these great things, but it's also just lots of fun. So I've enjoyed it so far.
Thanks, Haley. Jenny, you've been committed to expanding the presence of women in manufacturing and developing educational opportunities for them to advance. What are some of the programs that you're leading?
Sure. I think Haley and Erne hit on a lot of them, especially Haley, with talking about the engaging of community programs. So I'm very passionate about connecting with our new hires as soon as they come into the plant, and then also other community programs, 4-H, Girl Scouts. You know, we're a rural community, and there's a lot of potential female engineers out here in our community. So anything that I can do to get out there and have that one-on-one interaction and show them what's possible, the earlier the interaction with the females so that they are more knowledgeable about what a career in manufacturing can look like for them is key. And then, you know, once you get them into the workforce, recognizing that talent and then being intentional with their development to help keep the females engaged and developing them for the future. Those are some of the key initiatives that I don't know that I want to say I developed them or I created them. And I think they're things that females just do naturally. You know, we're very nurturing individuals and we always want to help others. So it just comes kind of natural for me to reach out to others that I see are talented and try to guide them along their way and be a source of information for them and do frequent check-ins, as well as also being a sponsor if that's what they choose.
Well, you've also been a source of inspiration, that's for sure. Thanks, Jenny. Haley, what's been most rewarding about working in your current role at Toyota?
Well, I thought originally, you know, I want to be in crash safety because I want to contribute to this larger team that makes our vehicle safer. But after I came on board full time, I quickly came to realize the impact that all of us have at Toyota on people's everyday lives. And as a mobility company, it's in our nature, right? We get people from point A to point B, whether that's taking kids to school or driving to work, doing whatever job they do that makes the world better in their own unique way. And I think that's the most rewarding part. We get to be kind of in this really intimate interaction with folks every single day when they're using our vehicles to go somewhere and go out and do right in the world. So I think that's really special.
Thanks, Haley. Ernay, what's been most rewarding for you?
For me, I love watching people grow, gently pulling team members out of their comfort zone and watching them grow and blossom into powerhouses. I have a couple of senior managers that I've been able to work with over the past 4 years, and they've grown tremendously. And as a result, I've been able to watch their teams grow and understand their influence and actively kind of alter the culture and write policy and direct the future of R&D. It's just really been a powerful experience, but I just genuinely love just watching people grow.
Well, Jenny, I am giving you the last word. Is there anything you'd like to say to our policy drivers before we close?
Well, thanks, Donna. I think it's please don't underestimate the impact of your interactions can have on others. You know, what you think is a small act or exchange could change the trajectory of someone's life. So, you know, we and you are inspiring the next generation of females in STEM. So be on your A game and lead by example.
Well, what a way to close out the podcast today. Jenny, Ernay, Haley, thanks for all you do for Toyota. Not only shining a light on the impact women are making in manufacturing, but for paving the road ahead for the future of all women. It's truly been an honor.
Thank you, Donna.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you so much.
And that's it, policy drivers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Toyota Policy to get caught up on the latest news on the Hill and to keep the conversation going. See you on our next episode of Under the Hood, a Toyota Policy Drivers podcast.